Good morning and welcome to the Northwest Mo Info Show, where we take you around Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa to help you stay up to date on local events and opportunities, and also to help you get involved with local groups who are helping make a difference around the region. I'm your host, Rick Turner. This morning, we turn our attentions to stroke rehabilitation. A lot of fears of the unknown can be faced when you or a family member has a stroke, and the road to recovery can seem overwhelming at times. Nikki Hendren from Harrison County Community Hospital is here. She'll tell us what to expect through stroke rehabilitation. Later in the show, we'll talk with Mary Lou from the Chillicothe Arts Council about the second Chili Music Opera that will take place this evening. Nikki Hendren joins us this morning from Harrison County Community Hospital in Bethany. She's going to discuss what HCCH offers and what to expect during the rehab process. So, Nikki, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So when people go through the rehab process, that's where you start to take over, you know, with the recovery. So let's just get to that point. At what point do people come to you for the rehabilitation?
Yeah, that's a great question. It obviously varies per person, but typically whatever setting you're in, whether you come from the emergency department or you're transferred here from another facility, once you are established and you're medically stable, then that's when we would step in and start your rehabilitation process here at HCCH.
And it's always, you know, people I'm sure ask the question, you know, what can I expect? And that's something that, you know, we probably don't find out until, you know, we get to that point for ourselves or for a family member. So if you could just tell us a little bit about what people can expect when they start the rehab process after a stroke.
Sure. So your rehabilitation will always start with a very thorough evaluation. And that will typically involve assessing all five of your senses. We'll check your vision. We'll check your hearing, your sensation. We'll see what different body systems are affected. Is it your musculoskeletal system? Is it purely neurological? And then we will use a multidisciplinary approach, meaning that you will have at least two members of our team, potentially three, with physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. And we get together, we discuss the different deficits that we've identified through the evaluation, and then we come up with a plan of care. And we always discuss that with the patient and with the family, if applicable, and say, this is what we see, these are the deficits that we've identified, and here's how we're going to address that and see if we can get you back to as good as we can possibly get you.
Now, when somebody goes through that process and then goes on to the actual appointments, is that something that's done several times a week or every day, or does it just depend on the person?
Yeah, so if you are a patient in our swing bed program, we will see you Monday through Friday, and how long we see you basically will depend on how well you tolerate it. In order to qualify to be a patient in our swing bed program for rehabilitation only, you have to be able to tolerate 1 hour of therapy every day. So you're going to get that at a minimum, but that really is the minimum, especially when you're seeing all three disciplines. You could have up to 2.5, 3 hours of therapy a day, depending on how well you can tolerate it. Especially after you've had a stroke, you know, there, you may have a really great day and you can tolerate a lot more. And then the very next day, you may be completely fatigued from what you did in therapy or just your visitors that you had. And so we kind of adjust day to day based on what you can tolerate and what your needs are, and try to make sure that we're giving you the most comprehensive treatment that you can get.
I've talked to some people that's been through rehab. It's not necessarily at HCCH and not necessarily just for a stroke either. But some people said, you know, they didn't feel like they're progressing. They weren't being pushed enough. And, you know, others got frustrated because they felt like they were being pushed too much and just couldn't do it. So as a therapist, how do you gauge how much rehab a patient can take versus how much they need, you know, to make sure that therapy does work?
So communication is key, and we always try to keep the lines of communication open between the therapist and the patient and the family. You know, if you feel like your therapy is a little too aggressive, just communicate that and say, gosh, you know, yesterday was a tough day, and we can adjust as necessary. Or if you think, I really want to spend a little bit more time in therapy, I think I'm doing better and I think I can tolerate it, we are more than willing to do that. Just keeping the lines of communication open. Your therapist, we all do a really good job of asking the patient, how was yesterday? How did you respond? How did you feel today? Did you feel like it was too much, too little? Because we really want to hit that just right amount that gets you to where you're getting the most progress you can possibly get out of your rehab, and at the same time not leaving you overly fatigued so that you can't participate the next day. So we try really hard to hit those levels, while at the same time encouraging the patient that your body lies to you all the time and says, I can't do anymore, but you find out that you can still do one or two more. And so that's kind of how we approach everyone.
As somebody goes through the process and you know, as they've done, you know, I don't know, days or weeks of rehab, I'm sure at some point they get to where, you know, they can keep handling more and more. So is there a maximum that you can go up to, or does that just matter on the patient as well?
There isn't necessarily a maximum. There's definitely the minimum that we did just discuss. But what we do is we gauge the patient and we look at what the patient's end goal is. If the patient wants to be able to return home and they're still making measurable progress every week, meaning that we can literally measure how much progress has been made. It wasn't just a small amount of progress. It was something that we can put a measurement on, like you've gained this much strength or your balance has improved to this level. Then you can continue to receive rehabilitation. But once you've kind of reached a level where you've plateaued, where you aren't making as much progress, then we look at different discharge options. So you may either continue in the swing bed program, you may qualify to go home and receive home health, or you may be good enough to go straight from the inpatient setting where you're a swing bed patient to outpatient setting.
Now, when you're talking about the swing bed, you know, that's patients actually there in the hospital that are participating in this while they're staying there in the hospital. But you also do outpatient as well with stroke therapy. So can you kind of discuss the difference between rehab right there at HCCH in a swing bed versus the outpatient?
Sure. So each setting kind of has its own end goal. So when you are in the swing bed setting, we are looking at, like I was saying earlier, getting you either home or potentially to home with home health or potentially into the outpatient clinic. So when you're in home health, we go into the home and we're trying to get you independent in your home, make sure that there's no barriers to you being able to return to taking care of yourself and doing the activities that you love doing prior to having your stroke, and then get you independent within the community so that you can tolerate outpatient. Once you come into the outpatient clinic, that's where your rehabilitation reaches that next level, where you are receiving more resistance training, more advanced balance training, just to make sure that you can be as independent as possible within your home and then within the community.
When you talk about the resistance training and the balance training, what type of physical activities does that involve?
So that will be different types of resistance, whether it would be using our weight machine that we have or different levels of resistance as far as heavier dumbbells, heavier weights. And then the balance training would be standing on the different balance challenging surfaces that we have. We have parallel bars that we can keep you safe in as you advance to where you don't even need to be in those at all. Using steps, being able to step up safely on a curb, being able to walk on gravel versus a solid surface versus a plush carpet or across the grass. So we simulate those different activities as well as we can in the outpatient clinic and challenge the patient to make sure that they're safe in all of those different environments.
I'm sure when people, you know, they have that stroke and they're starting this process, it just seems daunting. You know, there's so much they have to, you know, learn how to do again. And what do you tell people? What they need to understand and realize as they go through this process in order to stay positive?
I always tell our patients just to give themselves a break. You know, your brain has just recovered from a serious injury and insult, and it needs a chance to heal itself. And at the same time, you know, we want to include activities that remind the brain what different sections of the brain are responsible for and help it build new pathways to healing, and all of that takes time. So, you know, giving yourself a break, having some patience, understanding that you're going through a process, but that you're not alone, and that you have a great team of therapists right there to cheer you on and get you as far as you need to be. And here at HCCH, we have a large team of therapists. We have 2 speech therapists, we have 4 occupational therapists, and we have 9 physical therapists. So you've got a big team to support you and help you get where you need to be.
And we're speaking again with Nikki Hendren from Harris County Community Hospital. You guys you've had several segments on from the hospital about different programs you have, different things you offer, which is great to know what is local here in Bethany, here in Harris County areas. And you guys do have a good team, a great team of people out there. And I just want, before I let you go, I want you to give you a chance to, tell people how can they get a hold of you or get a hold of the hospital if they want more information about stroke rehab and what you offer.
Yeah, so you can always get a hold of us out at the clinic. Our number here is 425-0236. And then we have some staff members at the hospital that are great to answer your questions. We have Nicole Tatum with Social Services that you could reach, and Becky Sellinger can kind of answer any questions you may have about your insurance and if it will cover your needs should you be ever admitted into the hospital, or if you're in a situation where you want to get transferred back into the hospital. And you can reach them through the main hospital number at 425-2211.
Once again, that's Nikki Hendren with Harris County Community Hospital. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great time.
You are listening to the Northwest Mo Info Show here on Regional Radio. More information about stroke rehab from HCCH can be found with this podcast on our website, northwestmoinfo.com. Stay tuned. We'll visit next with Mary Lou, who's here to tell us about the response to the first Chillicothe Music Opry held last month and what to expect in tonight's Opry. Back to the Northwest Mo Info Show. The Chillicothe Arts Council took a gamble with the introduction of a country music opera, and it paid off big. We had a chance to visit with Mary Lou earlier this week from the Chillicothe Arts Council. The Chillicothe Arts Council had a great response to the first performance of the Chili Arts Opry in January. Another Opry is set this evening. We're joined by Mary Lou of the Chillicothe Arts Council to tell us more. It's great to have you on this morning, Mary Lou. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, Rick. I'm really appreciative and excited to be able to promote the Chili Arts Opry. We're ready to have our second one.
And you wanted to try something new for the Arts Council, and you came up with this country music opry with all the classic country music. And I think it really was a pretty good hit in January, wasn't it?
It really was, Rick. In spite of the inclement weather, we had 110 people attend our first event. Very energetic crowd. The band, we have an excellent 5-piece band, and using local vocals from the area, and all of which are veteran musicians and singers, have been doing it for many years and have a great love for classic country music. So it is just all coming together even better than I had anticipated.
And I think with some of those musicians and performers, pretty well known around this area, and I think that probably really helped with the response you got. Who are some of those performers that you have for the opera this year?
Vance Monday is our steel player. And for those who know Vance, they know he is a longtime steel player, has played for some of the top names in Nashville and all around the country, plays several area Opries, and is just a well-loved musician. Jamie Pauls is on the keyboard. Jamie has played for a lot of the area Opries as well, but he was also in a gospel band with my husband and I for over 20 years in his young years. And so we have that family connection as well as just, just that awesome reverence for Jamie's talent and ability. Mike White, who is familiar to a lot of folks, is playing acoustic guitar and a vocal. And Mike had his own show probably about 17 or 18 years ago. And he's excited to be on the Opry stage again. Jan Vandeventer is playing bass guitar. And Charlie Maples, who's also a pretty well-known drummer in the area, drums with a lot of the area bands. And that makes up our band. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, they just come together so great, like a hand in a glove almost, just keying off of each other's abilities. And it's just fun to watch them rehearse for our shows. Opry is different in that it is performance-based. And we do not do just walk-ons. We don't take requests. We practice every Tuesday evening for the upcoming shows. As soon as one show's over, we start the next Tuesday evening rehearsing for the upcoming show. So many hours go into our rehearsals.
And I know that's something that really wasn't done by the Chillicothe Arts Council before. And, you know, how did you decide to bring on a country music and a classic country music section of performance like this?
Well, it's been something I've been pondering, Rick, for well over a year. I grew up with classic country, and most of my generation did. And so I've never really gotten away from those roots. But the way the Arts Council has been structured in the past is to bring more nationally known, regionally known musicians that they make a living by performing. And so we bring a blend of genres, a lot of the classical edge musicians. And COVID has changed a lot of things. And folks just want good, affordable entertainment. And when you have good local talent like we have around Chillicothe, you know, they should be showcased. That's been my opinion. And my board has just caught the vision along with me and said, let's try it. It has to be self-supporting. We're a couple of shows away from breaking even. But I believe we will, Rick, with the response we've gotten. Our Facebook social media posts and shares have just gone out the roof. I mean, beyond any numbers I could have ever dreamed of. And so I believe this is going to be a shot in the arm to the Arts Council. I think I'm safe in saying about 80% of the folks who attended our first show have never been to an event at the Performing Arts Center hosted by the Arts Council. And so we're welcoming a lot of new faces to our organization, and that in itself is exciting. But I just believe that this is something that was meant to be, as it was birthed in my heart, and I've seen it come to fruition. I say it's a God thing, and I believe God dropped Vance Mundy and Debbie Mundy right in the center of my arts world.
I've seen those social media posts you put up on Facebook and everything that, you know, goes into that performance and everything we see, but I know there's a lot of background work, and you talked about the hours of practice, and I know you put in even more hours, you know, prior to that, just bringing everything together. So how does a performance like that come together? How much time does it take?
Many, many hours. And it's in addition to trying to keep the other programs at the arts going along. But somebody said to me, when you enjoy it, Mary Lou, it's not like work, is it? And there's a lot of truth in that statement. But I I do not choose the songs that the vocals perform. I ask them for 4 songs for each show, and then I listen to all of those. My husband is really good with putting together a listening list for me on Spotify. And so I listen to those songs over and over and over. And then about 2 weeks before the show, I put those in a performance list. We have 3 male vocals and 3 female vocals. And so I blend the songs together to where there's not too many female songs together or male. And then I also like the ebb and flow of the music. And so I work to put the slower songs and fast songs, and it has just come together. But I've been doing this, Rick, for over 30 years.
And
you learn when you've been a performer and a minister yourself, then you just kind of grow with it, and so you roll with it. And I'm enjoying it all from start to finish. And then the thing that really makes it all worthwhile is to see folks who are sitting in their chairs, and I call it chair dancing, moving to the music. And some folks do, even though the venue is not a large dance venue, some folks just get up and find a place where they can dance. And it's just a wonderful event. I encourage folks who have not been to call and make a reservation. Call my arts office, because we are already well over half full with reservations for the 18th.
And you talked about the... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. And
you talked about, you know, bringing your just enjoyment, your passion for that, and I'm sure that's really what, you know, what makes it so successful, is because the performers, the musicians bring that as well, as long as the, you know, the people attend it, that's really what they love. So I know that we have the first one on the 21st, the first show on the 21st of January. Second one's going to take place this evening. Another one's scheduled in March. And those aren't really just going to be copper copies of each other, I'm sure, right? It's going to be a whole new set of music and the same performers maybe, but just something else that people haven't seen before.
Same performers, same band, all new songs. We have two new female vocals at the February show. And then in March, Rick, we are bringing Duke Mason, who is going to be our first special guest. We will still have our local vocals performing along with, well, not along with Duke, but on the same show. I never want to cut out my local vocals, because they are the essence of this Opry. But Duke Mason, for those who do not know, comes to us from southern Missouri, and from the Joplin area. He travels with the Texans in Texas, but he is coming as our special guest, and our band will be accompanying Duke. So it's pretty exciting. He even told me that I could do some harmony with him. So
oh, wow.
I'm pretty excited about that opportunity as well.
Yeah, and we are recording this early, because I know on the 18th you're going to be really, really busy that morning. And you know, hopefully your tickets are already sold out for that day. But for the people that do want to get in on this, you know, it maybe have tickets for the 18th still available, but especially for the March date and those after, how can people get a hold of those tickets, and what does this cost?
The tickets are $10. When we have a special guest, there will be a $5 cover charge in addition that will be paid at the door. For those folks who have bought tickets to all three shows up front, they are guaranteed a reserve seat. That's what, you know, I think that is something that really appeals to folks who don't want to have to worry about showing up early. The doors open at 6, the show starts at 7. But if folks purchase tickets to all three shows up front, they have a reserve seat. So the doors open at 6, the show's at 7, and we hope we don't have to turn anybody away. We will do everything that we can to accommodate folks. But it isn't a huge venue like the Performing Arts Center is. And, you know, probably further along, we'll consider moving to the Performing Arts Center venue as well.
And we do want to mention, that is, this Opry is taking place at the new Veterans Building there in Chillicothe.
It is. And it's on Washington Street, just south of the new Children's Library. So, I'm sorry, I don't remember the address right off the top of my head, but it is on the east side of the street as you're going north in Chillicothe, right on Highway 65. You can't miss it. It's a beautiful building. And just in a great location, easy access for those who may need a mobility aid, just right up into the door, and just a great venue. It's just a little over a couple of years old. To be able to use that facility.
And people can call you for tickets, right?
Yes, they can, and my phone number is 660-646-1173, and I will cut off reservations probably Wednesday of before the show. I guess technically, as you're airing this, there will be walk-ins only, but folks can call. I have my phone with me. It gets kind of busy on show afternoon and evening, but if folks will leave me a voicemail if they want to know if there's room space still available, they can call me and I'll let them know.
That's a lot of great information, a lot of great things coming up with the Chillicothe Arts Council and with the Chili Opry. Once again, that's set this evening and then March 4th once again, and hopefully that's something you make regular. Mary Lou, we've enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for the opportunity.
And thank you for joining us here this morning on the Northwest Mo Info Show here on Regional Radio CAN. Make sure to join us each Saturday morning at 8:30. Next week, we'll have a familiar voice. Andrew McRae will join us. Andrew hosts American Countryside, heard daily here on Regional Radio CAN, and Farming the Countryside, which you can hear right before this program on Saturday mornings. We will also welcome to the show Valentine Queen and Keen from the Harrison County Sheltered Workshop. If you missed the show, want to share it with friends or family, or want to hear it again, you can check out all the shows in podcast form on northwestmoinfo.com. For the Northwest Mo Info Show, this is Rick Turner. Thanks for joining us this morning.